This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we continue our Hall of Fame interview series with inductee Meg Coffin from the class of 2008. Plus, the number 6 nationally ranked Bates field hockey team got a big senior day win, and women's golf won the New England Intercollegiate Golf Association Championship. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates football team jumped out to a 23-7 halftime lead Saturday against Williams, with sophomore Quinn Carver recording both a rushing and a receiving touchdown in the first half. But the Eves rallied with 30 unanswered points in the second half, and a late Bobcat comeback attempt fell short as Bates moved to 2-4 on the season with a 37-30 loss, their second one-score loss of the year. Head coach Matt Coyne recaps a wild one at Garcelon Field.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the first half, I think, you know, we capitalized on their mistakes. I think that was a big piece of it. You know, they muffed a punt and they messed up another punt on their own end, which led to us, you know, I was really happy with us capitalizing on those mistakes. You know, first half, we go down the first drive and score, and that's a huge, you know, huge advantage for us for something we haven't done often. And I think, you know, going into half, you're up 23-7, we score late. It's again what we talked about a couple weeks back. It's like you're into some uncharted territory for this team as they progress. It's like we have not been in that situation before. And we were stressing, you know, at halftime, like execution and discipline. And, you know, we knew Williams was going to come out and throw everything at us. And they're a very good team. They're tied for first for a reason in the league. And, you know, we just gave up some explosives and we didn't play complimentary football in the third quarter. You know, and that's, you can't do that. You can't make those mistakes, you know, turn the ball over, you know, penalties, things like that, that we have to clean up. We have to coach it better and the players have to execute it better. And I think overall, I think you can't do those things against the top teams and expect to capitalize and win. Towards the end there, obviously the long touchdown run was, you know, really a tough play. You know, we should have, you know, had a tackles there on the sidelines and we didn't make the play and the kid's a good player, but, you know, we fought back and, you know, I think, you know, went down and scored and had an opportunity, you know, at the end of the game with the ball with a minute left on the 50 to have a chance to tie or win the game, you know? So from that end, I mean, the quit's never there. The effort is never questioned with this team. It's just, again, learning how to, you know, capitalize on a lead, hold the lead, sustain it. And, you know, if they hit a big play, we need to respond offensively and pick up our defense. And the same way our defense picks us up, if we're not scoring, we need the defense to get stops. And I think the only thing you do is it's frustrating, obviously, but you have to learn from it and put yourself in those positions again.
Williams used a different quarterback than who I thought they were going to use. Was that a surprise to you guys? You may have to make adjustments right away, kind of?
Yeah, I think, you know, we knew he got dinged up the previous week. We didn't know he still played and finished the game. And obviously he's a heck of a player, but, you know, they have good players. And again, that quarterback played well. I think, you know, we didn't expect it, but once we did, it doesn't really, you know, change the game plan a whole bunch. Obviously they do a little bit less Q run game because they were a big Q run team, but we knew they were going to, you know, they did exactly what we thought. They're going to run the ball and then take their big play action shots. And we knew 86 was a really good receiver, that, you know, big kid that can run and uses his body position well. And you know, they just made a couple more plays than us in that second half. And, you know, I think, you know, like I said, I still am really proud of the effort and the attitude from our team. And it's something that we're going to have to grow from and learn from.
Kind of a breakout game this year, at least, for Ryan Gleason, who's had some big games for the Bobcats mm-hmm. through the years. What do you see from him, especially on that last drive where you guys, it was basically the Ryan Gleason show to get down the field to get to within a touchdown there?
Yeah, I think, you know, he was just getting himself in position and understanding his, you know, the coverage. You know, they were playing a lot of invert cover two stuff, and they were really the backside safety. I think, you know, JP did a great job of looking off that safety and then coming back to Ryan, and he was right where he was supposed to be. Makes a big catch. And also, I think the biggest thing is on the first one, he converts on the third down diving catch. And then the touchdown's the next play. And he makes the kids miss and scores, and he could easily get tackled there at the 5-yard line, and now we have to punch it in still. But to that's a big play from him, and he's always been reliable throughout his career. So I expect him to make those plays, and I think we have diversity in that receiver room right now where guys can make plays. There's a lot of guys out there. We have some talent that's developed, and I think we feel really good about that position group.
Obviously, the running backs are pretty banged up right now. Tell us about some of the young guys who we might need to step up here.
Yeah, some of our first years are going to have to step up, as we look and see, the health of our team. We'll know more, later in the week. But obviously, with Linsky and Morrell going down in the game, Tyler Walcott, Michael Seward, Colin Sapu are going to have to step up. And they've been working really hard throughout the whole year in, whether it be scout teams or the limited reps they may have gotten, with our ones and twos. But now it's the next man up, and I think in football, it's not always about the overall talent. It's about the overall depth, and that's how you have to, you have to step up. We're not switching our whole offense. We're not switching things up. Like, we are what we are, and we recruit really good players, and now it's their time to fill the shoes if they need to. Obviously, we know losing Jackie and Ryan are big components of our offense, but it's the next man up, and we're going to prepare those guys this week, and they're going to get ready and for their opportunities with whatever that may be against mid this Saturday.
Well, speaking about running the ball, I mean, Quinn Carver had a rushing touchdown this game. He also had a receiving touchdown. He seems to be able to do it all for you guys. Really emerging as a sophomore here. What have you noticed from him? I mean, I know he was featured before the Tufts game by a local paper there because he's from the Boston area, but I mean, he seems to be kind of, slowly but surely kind of becoming a huge part of this offense, huh?
Yeah, he's got a different gear to him, and he's somebody that obviously, like, defenses are gonna start to star now. They're gonna start to look at, his speed, and his confidence is growing. I think he's, matured a lot since his freshman year, and the kid's only a sophomore, and he's getting better every day. So I think, with him, he just has a different element of speed, and he can run, and and that's one of the biggest components of his best attributes, his ability to separate, make plays. So I think, like I said, in that whole group, that whole receiver group, we have a ton of talent there. And I think, they're only growing and getting better. And for us, I think, we're really happy with the production that they've all had, especially Quinn.
So this weekend you're at Middlebury, a team who you beat last year at Garcelon Field, who I'm sure will be out for revenge. But tell me a little bit about what you've seen from the Panthers on tape so far this year.
Yeah, I think they're a team that's in a similar position as us. I think they've had some really tough, close losses. They're a good team, and they're very disciplined. Their defense, they run and tackle well. Obviously, they graduated a lot on defense, and I think it's taken them a few weeks to figure out, who the guys are, but I think they've found that. Offensively, they've got, some experience there at quarterback, and have a really good receiver in number 8, Mike Ohonen. And some good young talent. I think, the running back's a good player, number 2. He is Connor McClellan. He's a kid that's a sophomore. So I think, from their end, very, they're gonna run the ball, simplistic run game, but they're going to be effective at it, and then they're gonna be able to throw the ball to their receivers. I think overall, it's gonna be a really good matchup between two good teams. We know we're going up there for their homecoming. We wouldn't want it any other way. So we're gonna go up there, and we know they're out for revenge. But again, it's what happened last year doesn't affect what happens now. You know what I'm saying? So you can't even let that even creep in, that thought or anything. We got to prepare really well. We've got to go up there, play physical, tough football, and mitigate those mistakes, that showed up in the second half. Play complimentary football and get a road win.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you can break it down all you want, but it just looks like looking at the box score, it's limit turnovers on offense and limit big plays on defense, right? It kind of comes down to
That's
that. Yeah.
what it is, and that's
Yeah.
what we stress, and it's in it. And again, I think it's, it's easy to say that. And again, at the end of the day, it's, when people look at it, it's a, it's not like the kids are trying to give up big plays. It's they're in position, they have players too, and the one right out of halftime, it's like, the kid tips it up to himself, makes the catch, and I think it's one of those where how do we just got to be able to stop the leak. And for us, that means offensively, we can't go 3 and out after that. We got to go on a drive. We've got to pick that score back up. And I think, that's the next step. And football's, fickle. We're up 23-7, and then it's tied with 8 minutes left to go in the third. So here we go. We're back to 0-0. And we stressed that in the locker room. We knew that, hey, we got them, where there is a little bit of blood in the water there. You know, we got a lead, but understand this is a team that's in first for a reason right now. Like, they're going to come out and throw everything at us, and we have to be able to withstand that punch. So that's really the learning from this is like, guys, like, you just got to, you know, keep playing that brand of disciplined football throughout the 60 minutes, regardless of the score, and understand as the score and game pressure starts to get on another team, they may be, you know, proposed to take more shots and take more, you know, so we just have to be ready for that, keep it in front of us. But it's not just, you know, defensively, it's offensively, it's special teams wise. We had a mishap on one of our punts. So when you make those mistakes, like, I got to coach it better. Our staff has to coach it better. And then the players have to execute it better. And you have to learn from this as we move forward, just as we learned from the Colby game. And just that, you know, so those things as we went into Tufts that next week, we really, you know, harped on it and we did better at. So, I mean, I think that's the only thing you can do in that situation. And, you know, it's a tough loss. But what are you going to do about it? It's done. You got to move on and you got to learn and grow and, you know, apply those corrections to next week's game.
All right, Matt Coyne, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
The number six nationally ranked Bates field hockey team rolled to a 4-0 win on Saturday over Connecticut College. It was senior day at Campus Avenue Field, and the Bobcats celebrated their six seniors by moving to 11-2 on the season. We caught up with senior captain Lucy Norris to talk all things Bates field hockey.
It was awesome. You know, it was pretty electric getting into breakfast. Even at 7:30, our teammates had been preparing a lot for us leading up to our day, which just meant so much. They put a lot of work into different gifts and decorating the locker room, and just knowing that that caring like was put into it was awesome. And then getting to the field, warming up, seeing all of our parents like starting to arrive, the posters around the field, you know, it really gets you hyped up and really excited for the game.
Yeah, the team played really well. Obviously, a 4-0 win.
Yeah.
You're one of the captains. You know, what was it like to see, you know, the team play so well that day?
It was awesome. It was honestly pretty emotional. One of our star players, another captain, Haley Dwight, got injured in warm up, and it's always hard when in field hockey, especially because it comes from our own teammates who sometimes injure others, and having to see her walk off the field, it was pretty stressful going into that game, hoping to see the team rally like without her and for her. And we were able to do that. And just seeing the team like rise to the occasion, people playing in positions they haven't played before, or wasn't prepared for a minute before game time started, was just really inspiring and just shows like how deep our bench is and what our team can do.
Well, specifically, I mean, like Summer Gordon, who's a senior also, I mean, she played defense before, but she moved from midfield to defense. On the other end of the spectrum, you had a first year step in a starting role. So that was good to see, right? In terms of their ability to step up, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was really, really incredible to see the girls. And you could tell people were nervous and scared, but the time the whistle blew, everyone was ready to go. Even if it was in a different position or playing with different girls than they are used to, everyone really rose to the occasion.
Great. What's it like being one of the captains this year? What's the experience been like?
It's been amazing. The girls are just an incredible group. I am a leader as much as I am a follower of their actions and just kind of falling after how amazing they are. But it's really amazing. I mean, working with Brooke and Haley has been such an amazing opportunity. Working with the coaches, we form a little bit of a leadership board, and just being able to bounce off ideas. If we see a problem with the team, knowing how to come up with a solution and really seeing that solution like come into effect has just been really incredible skills that I've learned and been able to use. And it's been a great opportunity.
Well, you're from Chicago, so tell us how Bates up here in the Northeast first got on your radar for college.
Well, yeah, it's pretty far for me, but I really was interested in all the NESCAC schools and obviously for field hockey, and came to Bates and absolutely fell in love with the team and the coaches and just the environment of the campus. And I had previously gone to camp in Maine, so just loved the state, obviously. But the second I got here, I pretty much knew right away. I'd gone to a bunch of other NESCACs, and I don't know, something about Bates just really stood out to me. The culture, I watched them in a film, like film for one of their games, and the way they analyzed their play and just spoke to each other, and seeing their culture really just hooked me in.
Has field hockey always been your sport? Any other sports growing up?
No, I actually grew up playing soccer my whole life, and field hockey, I only started when I was a freshman in high school. So I was kind of behind all the other girls on my team, especially at Bates. They've been playing since they were like in fourth grade. So it's been a lot to learn. But the second I started playing field hockey, I knew they were the best girls to play with. So I wanted to stick with it.
Gotcha. And what about the sport? You know, appeal to you the most, perhaps, you know, maybe even more than soccer, perhaps?
I think as a sport compared to soccer, there's so much more creativity. The different stick skills, the way that you can use your stick, there's just so many different variations of how you can play the sport that's very different from soccer. Soccer, to me, I loved it, but it was very like strict with how you played, and I love the creativity of field hockey, and every year it gets elevated. There's new skills, new sticks, new balls, new field types, and it just is continuing to elevate its game. And that's just been a really inspiring part of the sport for me.
The team is 11-2 right now, which is just tremendous. I mean, your senior class, every year the wins have been increasing, and it's possible that will be happening again, depending on what happens down the stretch. But I mean, like, you know, how excited are you, first of all, for this opportunity to go to Middlebury this weekend? And you know, if you get a win there, you'd be, you know, in a really good spot, right?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, it never stops. It's freshman year, we were walking into like a good team, but nothing crazy. And we've just seen how like determination and grit just really can get you so far. It's been interesting now not being an underdog. I mean, our class learned how to fight as underdogs, and now we got a target on our back. So learning how to fight with that new mentality has been definitely a adjustment, and I was nervous for this year that we weren't going to be able to handle it well, but we really have been handling it so well, and we just want more. Like, no matter how far we get, no matter what we do the year before, we just continue fighting back and have shown that Batesville hockey wasn't just a random year that we were good, but our program is strong and it has very deep roots, and we're not done.
Yeah, I mean, like back-to-back NCAA tournament bids. I mean, you know, tell me about the NCAA tournament experience, you know, playing in it the last 2 years. What was that like for you?
It's so incredible. It's really a different feeling. When I think about those games compared to any other like regular season or even postseason games, it's you wear the badges, you just feel so much pride, like for your school, for the D3, for NESCAC. Like, it's so different. I mean, the world has their eyes on you. You get a little letter from the head of like NCAA athletics, and it feels just electric, and you feel such pride. And it's interesting because once you get into the tournament, nothing really matters that happened before. Like your record, your wins, your losses, it all starts over, and you're able to really prove how strong you are as a team. And that's what I love the most about it, because it's really an opportunity to show what you have and show who's the strongest.
Yeah, and you mentioned obviously, you know, target on your back. I mean, you're going to Middlebury this weekend. I'm sure Middlebury remembers what happened last year at Middlebury in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this matchup? I mean, it should be very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting watching Middlebury this season have a different season than they had last year. But our sights are set on the same thing, on the same prize. We're not letting that affect our play. And we're going to go into it the same way that we went into last year, with just our same determination and aggression. And I think it's going to be an incredible game, but we're not scared for it as we have been years before. We're ready, and they should be a little scared of us.
Absolutely. Well, Lucy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the Bobcast, senior captain for Bates Field Hockey. They're 11-2, as I mentioned. They got two more regular season games, including one at home against Colby, and then of course NESCAC tournament, NCAA tournament. A lot of field hockey left this fall, certainly. Thank you so much again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The women's golf team had an outstanding weekend at the New England Intercollegiate Golf Association Championship, dominating the field of 10 schools to win by 81 strokes. Junior Torrey Adams earned medalist honors as all five Bobcats placed in the top 10. Adams shot a 75 on Saturday and a 73 on Sunday to take the title, and she is our female Bobcat of the week.
Well, Tori, first of all, congratulations. Medalist honors at the NEIGA Championships, 2-day event down there on Cape Cod. Take us through the weekend, just kind of maybe some of the highlights from your perspective, how it went.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. So the weekend started. We had a practice round on Friday. Coach Ian Gold made sure we were able to see the port course in advance. And then Saturday, Sunday, we had a good breakfast. We were well caffeinated. I ran on Duncan. And yeah, got there. And personally, I tried to just focus on my couple of swing thoughts and what I was trying to do. And then out on the course, tried not to let any mistakes bother me. I know they're going to happen. I'm human, but also not to compound those errors and let it lead to double or triple bogeys.
The port and the starboard courses there. Tell me about those courses, similarities, differences.
Yeah, they're both awesome courses. They set up really nicely. Port course we played on Sunday, there has a long par five that goes over the water. And on that hole, I just tried to control the damage, be like, this is a hard hole, bogey's okay. And that's that's what I ended up with. But it also is very gettable on a couple of them. So I think even on Sunday, a bunch of the team had birdies. I know, I think Madeline had three, Meher, Isabel, and Kendall each had one. And yeah, we were all fighting out there trying to do our best.
Well, I'll say it was a great team effort. I mean, the team won by like, I mean, you had almost wrapped up after day one. I mean, it was a dominating performance. What was it like to have the whole team finish in the top 10 and have four of you get all New England like that?
It was great to have everyone play well and it all come together on a good weekend. We were pretty ecstatic with the win. And yeah, just to have everyone play well on the same weekend and to have it turn out to be the result that it did and to beat the next team by 81 strokes was amazing.
Yeah, that's a big margin.
Yeah, that was a big margin. You know,
Yeah.
it wasn't over after the first day, but we were definitely feeling pretty good going home.
And then I saw a little video of the celebration clip. What was that like there at the end?
Oh my
I
gosh.
thought.
Yeah, I had hit a really good wedge into 18. It's a par five. And I had had that shot all day and hadn't quite hit it as close as I wanted it to. And that one, it just worked out well. Walking up to the green, my parents were there, but then also our coach and my teammates were behind the green. I couldn't look over. I hadn't looked at the leaderboard all day. I had no idea where I stood overall. I knew I was playing well, but it's golf. Anything can happen. Someone can light it up for one round. And just wanted to get the ball in the hole before I looked over. And then when I did, it was a good feeling. And then they ran over and doused me in water, which I wasn't expecting, but I saw the clip after and it was pretty funny.
Have you ever won a golf tournament before?
Yes, I won a tournament when I was getting recruited for college. It was the, I believe, 2022 Hurricane Junior Tour. And then I've also a junior club championship here and there, but I compete against my sister and she's pretty good.
So how did this compare to previous wins you've had?
This one felt pretty good. I've been working really hard all year, all summer, getting ready and then really buckling down and focusing on my short game and putting. And that really helped me this weekend because I had some shots that went awry, and to save it and to save some of those pars or even save a bogey made all the difference.
And you got a giant trophy, like for the individual win. That thing was huge. So
Yeah, it was pretty heavy too.
where are you gonna put that? I mean, that thing is huge.
We don't get to keep that one. They put our name on it and they save it for the next year.
Oh,
So
they leave
I got
it
like a little one
there.
to take
Okay,
home.
the big one is for like a photo, and then
The
they.
big one was great for a photo. Hopefully, I'll see it next year.
But your name goes on it. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So, in terms of like the team, fishing the fall this strong, what are your thoughts on kind of entering the spring season? I mean, how do you like stay sharp over the winter, kind of, right?
Yeah, over the winter, we'll definitely be in the simulator all the time, getting ready. I think it was a great way to end the season on such a high note. I know we've all worked so hard all year, and then I think we want to keep playing and we're kind of forced to take a break just with the winter, but I think we are ramped up and ready to go for the spring. And when that time comes around and the snow melts and we can get outside, I think we're all ready. We want it to be there already, and it's
I know it's a long wait. I mean, your next kind of tournament's not till May. That's a long wait.
I know.
Well, you're a junior now, but take us back, in high school. What made Bates kind of the place for you when you're looking at colleges and stuff?
I live just north of Boston in Winchester, and I was looking for a small liberal arts college where I could get a great education, and have that like close-knit community, but also a school where I could play golf. And trying to stay close to home, my family is great and they're super supportive, and I love heading home every once in a while to visit, and then also being able to have them at my tournaments is really meaningful. So that was kind of what drove me to Bates, and the team was super friendly when I did my visit March of my junior year. So that's what led me to want to come to Bates, want to commit to Bates. And then I had reached out to the coach at the time and was like, "You're my number one." And she was like, "Great, you have a spot." And I was like, "Awesome."
And then obviously you mentioned Ian, obviously our new coach this year. What's he been like so far to work with?
He's been an amazing coach thus far. He's there, he's pumped, he's ready for practice every day. He's more enthusiastic than anyone I know. And I mean, on the course, he is there if we need him. I know I kind of stay in my own bubble and just laser focused, but also knowing that like if something happens, if we need a ruling, but he's been great. And it's been a good experience this year.
Great. Well, what are your thoughts you wanted to share on, the team's first place finish there at the NEIGAs, and you want to mention that we haven't got to talk about yet?
Everyone played great. I mean, everyone had a good weekend, put together some good rounds. I'm thrilled for, I mean, especially Madeline, Meher, Isabel, and Kendall. They worked so hard, and for us to all get the team win was awesome. And I know Coach Ian was thrilled too. He had put it in our schedule when he had sent it out on Friday. We're gonna take home the trophy and take home the plaques. We did.
Yep. Absolutely. Bobcats winners there. Great way to finish the fall. Women's golf team will be back in action in the spring. Tori Adams, the winner individually, also as well there down at the Captain's Course. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcats. Really appreciate it.
Of course,
Congratulations.
thanks so much for having me.
The rowing teams traveled to Boston and competed in the world-famous Head of the Charles Regatta on Sunday as the women's first Varsity 8 placed 10th out of 37 boats, while the men's first Varsity 8 finished 12th out of 42 boats in their respective collegiate eights races. Elliott Bridge proved to be a challenge for the men's team as they encountered Colby and Bucknell Cruz attempting to make their way under at the same time as the Bobcats. Men's 1V coxswain Darian Chang is our male Bobcat of the Week as he helped Bates navigate a tricky situation.
Yeah, so I mean, we kind of had the race plan to go off pretty hard in the early parts of the race just because, coming through the BU Bridge and then going into the powerhouse stretch, the wind was a tailwind. And then as you come around the bends, it starts to become a little bit of a cross and then ahead. So we really just wanted to make sure we were staying on it early. I think, from our boat standpoint, we did a very well job of executing that early on. But, as we started to come through Elliott, I would say we were caught behind Colby and Bucknell. Colby was trying to put pass Bucknell for a while, and we were also trying to pass Bucknell and Colby. So like there's this entire thing going on, and then we were all coming around Elliott together. What ended up happening was that like Colby was on our port side, Bucknell was on our starboard side, and we were just sandwiched. So after weeks, it was a little bit difficult of a race, I would say.
And yeah, if you want to go into that situation with Elliott a little bit more, I mean, you as a coxswain, this is a race very unlike the races we have in the spring, obviously, which are, pretty much straight on 2K. This is where you're negotiating turns and everything, and there's certain things within these types of races where there's maybe etiquette. Other boats are supposed to yield sometimes under these bridges. That didn't happen here, right? So you had to adjust, right?
Yeah, so it was quite an interesting scenario to be in, one that, I've never been in before. It's rare that you're sandwiched between two boats. Ideally, coming around the Elliott turn, we would have been on the port side of Colby, but that just didn't end up happening for us because coming out of Anderson, I believe, we were supposed to be on the port side of Colby, but they were just too far over there, so I couldn't get us on that side. So we ended up being on their right side, but then Bucknell was ahead of us slightly, but we were on the inside of them. So then it kind of created like this scenario I was saying, like a sandwich. And boats create this like wake, which is like water rolls off their boat and then create like disrupts the water behind it. So it was a really tough scenario to be in for us because we were getting like wake from our port side and also our starboard side. So it made the rowing quite difficult to do. And then if you add that in tandem with having to turn at the same time, everything just becomes much, much more difficult. So like I ended up making a decision just for the safety of my crew to pull off a little bit off of the racing line and take the turn a little bit wider and to make sure that, we didn't end up hitting or damaging the equipment or hitting a bridge.
Certainly. Well, 12th place, as we mentioned, for the men's first varsity. I mean, there's a lot of crews here who you won't see, you know, later on. You won't see Holy Cross again. I don't think you'll see Temple, St. Joseph's, Purdue, so on and so forth. But there are crews, obviously, you were racing that you will see in the spring. So where do you think the team is right now? What do you think is the next step, kind of heading into the spring season, to you know, take the next step for the 1V at least?
Yeah, I mean, I think the team is in a great spot. This race, I would say, has, you know, kind of lit a fire for us. 12th place isn't what we wanted. You know, we thought we could have done much, much better than that. But, you know, it's really started the fire, and we're a young team. So just having this race and having this in the back of their mind, I think, is great going into the winter, because we know that we have a lot of work to do in order to be where we were last spring, or ahead of where we were last spring. So it's a good point to kind of have, and I think it sets us up well.
Now, for you personally, we have you as a junior, but is this your last year with the Bobcats?
Yeah, so I'm doing the engineering program, so if I get into Columbia, I will. This would be my last year.
So what's that process kind of like?
That would be, I'm applying over the winter. And I've been talking with the engineering advisor. Hopefully, you know, chances are looking good. So I'm applying to Columbia, Dartmouth, and Washington University in St. Louis for the last 2 years of my education.
Gotcha. For those who don't know, could you explain how that program works? 3 years at Bates and 2 years somewhere else, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how this works is you come in to Bates, you know, you want to talk with the engineering advisor as early on as possible, because there's a lot of courses that you have to take in order to kind of apply. So there's a lot of prerequisites. So I was talking with, I knew that I wanted to do engineering when I came to Bates. So I had that meeting early on, and I've been taking classes to get on that track. So then in your third year, so it's called the 3-2, when you're in your third year, you apply out to your the engineering school. So either that would be Columbia, WashU, Dartmouth, I think. Case Western might be in there as well. And you essentially see, you know, what of those schools you get into, and then you can ultimately make a decision whether you want to go to that school, or you can also make the choice to stay here and complete a degree.
How do you feel like, you know, Bates has prepared you for kind of this next step, you know, moving on maybe possibly to Dartmouth or somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, Bates is a fantastic place to be. Like, I love it here. I think there's a fantastic culture, fantastic team culture with the rowing team. And I think being at a small liberal arts college like Bates, you get a lot of one-on-one time with professors and, you know, coaches, more so than if you would go to a larger university or college. I think just having that extra sense of like closeness prepares you well, because it hones in your skills, and professors pay a lot more attention to, you know, how you're doing. So then ultimately, when you go off to a larger university or college, you have a better grasp of, you know, how to handle yourself and how to prepare for things.
So are you sort of treating this like your senior year? Like, do you feel like you're a senior?
I would say I'm more so treating this as my sophomore year again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
So
how so, I guess.
because in a five this is in a 5-year program.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So 3rd year at Bates, still got another 2 years, or yeah, 2 years to go. So it's like I have junior year twice. It's weird to explain. Yeah, so I'm
Yeah.
essentially like going into a junior year next year, and then after that I have another year. So this is my sophomore year again.
Okay, fair
Yeah.
enough. All right, so you know, we have a few more races here this fall. Normally it's really kind of just like they had the Charles. We know about the CBB Chase. The men will also get a chance to compete with Dartmouth and the Columbia Lightweights on November 1st. How excited are you for that matchup?
It's very exciting, you know, any opportunity that we can get to race is fantastic. Especially, you know, as I said, we have a very young team, so any races that we have early on is just a good metric and good opportunity for us to perform and see how we can do, and just, you know, overall build race mentality for some of the guys in the boat.
Excellent. Any other thoughts you wanted to share about the head of the Charles, how it went, any other things you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
We were happy with our performance. Like, ultimately, we wish we were, you know, we were a little bit further ahead in the pack, but it was just, an unfortunate circumstance to be in, sandwiched between two boats. But we did what we could, and just coming away with that fact, that's the, just handle the conditions that were given to us. So we're happy with the way we handled it.
All right, Darren Chang, first varsity eight coxswain for the Bobcats. He's a sophomore, he's a junior, he's a senior, we're not sure, but thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcats. Really appreciate
All
it.
right, thank you.
Earlier this month, the Bates Department of Athletics held its inaugural Hall of Fame ceremony, celebrating some of the legends of the college. One of the inductees was former Bates women's soccer, basketball, and lacrosse star Meg Coffin from the class of 2008. Our Hall of Fame interview series continues this week with Coffin looking back on her time as a Bobcat. Well, first of all, Meg, I mean, take us back before Bates even.
Okay.
Tell me about growing up, how you got involved in, what, three sports at least?
Yes, yeah. So I come from a family of athletes. My mom and dad both competed. My dad played basketball at UMass with Dr. J.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we have sort of a storied history in that regard. And my brother played at Williams, so played basketball. So that the NESCAC was familiar to me. But really, growing up, I was in every sport. Played a lot of soccer, a lot of basketball. I didn't play lacrosse until high school, but I ran track before that. I was a high jumper and a hurdler. And it was always a part of our lives, both competing in the backyard and, seeing who can hit a higher notch on a vertical leap in our house. Like, we didn't have a measurement pole of who was taller. It was who has a better vertical. And so that, I think, was just sort of the fabric of growing up. And then I've, come from a competitive family. And once I sort of got the itch of competitive sports, I loved it and loved competing and being a part of a team, and really took off from there.
When you were looking for colleges, was one of the like prerequisites, if you will, I want to play three sports?
So my prerequisite was that I wanted to play two.
Okay.
I wanted to play soccer and I wanted to play basketball.
Yep.
And I was really invested in that. And it was limiting in some ways. And then in other ways, sort of made me find the right place and the right feel for me, which I appreciate. And Coach Murphy, being the soccer and basketball coach, just was a right fit. And supported me as a multi-sport athlete here, and was able to see that on a daily basis in a way that was, I think, really important. But also, I couldn't cut corners. There was, I didn't have to play fall ball for basketball. Every now and again, I'd go, to an open gym, but soccer season was soccer season. And then once basketball season started, it was basketball season. I think I got a day off in between seasons. And, it wasn't like, because he was my coach in both, I got any leeway. It was like, no, I remember, throwing up on those first, like, basketball first days, early
right.
days of 2.5 hour practices and, feeling that. But I think that level of commitment and that level of support that he gave me as an athlete was tremendous.
How'd you get roped into lacrosse then? If you didn't...
Well, I actually asked. I asked if I could try out for the team. So my sophomore year, that was the year that we lost to USM in the Sweet 16 for basketball. And I feel like I entered some type of darkness after
that.
And it felt like I can't end the year this way. Athletically. And so I asked if I could try out for the lacrosse team and did and made the team and played. And I picked up lacrosse in high school, and I was really fortunate to have Kate Dolan at Andover as my coach at the time. And she was a tremendous athlete and coach in her own right. And I remember my senior year her saying, you could do this in college. And that sort of kernel stuck in my mind. And because she said that and believed that I could do that, it meant I held her in such high regard that it meant in my mind, oh, I guess I can do this, so that belief was there. And I had a great time on the lacrosse team. And I, I'd say the only potential regret I have at Bates is not playing that senior year where I came back, because I didn't play because I was, draining my knee, and it was coming back was a lot. And, I wanted to walk when I'm 50. So so that was definitely hard, a really hard choice to not play. But it was an easier choice to try and to play, and I was grateful.
Well, you touched on the 04-05 team.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the numbers, 25-3, just
yeah.
outstanding. But you also mentioned how it ended. I mean,
yeah.
When you reflect back on that team, it's the greatest season in Bates women's basketball history record-wise.
Sure.
but it ended in kind of a disappointment. So what are your thoughts on that year?
I mean, I think it ended on a disappointment and, you know, in terms of the loss, but it also, the whole season was a tremendous experience. I think we were an incredibly close team. We came together, and I vividly remember even just some of those practices and feeling like our chemistry and how well we moved and worked together on the floor. And then all of that transferred off the floor too. And it just felt like there was something special there, because there was. And then it's the beauty of sports, and it's why you play. It's, you know, like, sure, we should have gone farther than that, and I think we could have than the Sweet 16, but, you know, that's how that game ended, and that's what you do it for. And I, you know, I remember sitting in a classroom at USM and Coach Murphy talking to us after that loss, and all of us were devastated. All of us did not want to take our jerseys off in that moment, and I don't know if I've ever felt closer to that team in that moment, and also more proud of how we came together. And he, you know, just said how proud he was of us, and that it, in that moment, in a loss, you know, in that random classroom at USM, that, you know, that pride was palpable.
That team, of course, had Olivia Zurich, who was a first-team All-American.
Yes.
She was a senior that year. Yep. And so she graduates, and then now you're kind of have to be the lead player, right? What was that transition like to being, you know, a very strong contributor to being the top player?
I think it felt right sort of moving into the role of an upperclassman. I don't think I ever replaced Olivia in what she could do by any means. Like, she's a singular player and a singular leader. And I think part of that is that's what a team is. You step up when it's your turn. And as an individual, I could fill that role, but that role would be nothing without everyone else. And so having all of those, you know, women on the team with me, and some of the best games I remember playing are games where my stat line was not that strong because we collectively got the W, and I was able to do other things, and others, you know, were able to shine. So I think when you can do that, and when you can be a contributor like I was that year, and also know that you can rely on others, you know, I had Sarah Barton and Val, and it was I still felt like we were only as strong as the five who were out there, and the others who were on the bench, and everyone who played every day in practice, and that it took the team.
This was touched on at the ceremony, but I really wanted to put a point on this. 2005 women's soccer.
Yeah.
NESCAC champions.
Yeah.
That is an accomplishment, and we've had individuals, very few teams to actually win the NESCAC, which 2005 women's soccer did. Tell me about that year. What was the key to success? What are your memories from it?
So many.
Yeah, right. I bet.
So many.
Yeah.
On the field and off the field.
Yeah.
I absolutely love all of those soccer girls and my teammates. We, again, it was just special. Like, we were able to come together. We were, you know, we had a team that from top to bottom just, we all filled our roles, and we played for each other, and we played our hearts out every game. And we knew that we were talented, and we knew that we were good. But sometimes that doesn't mean you get an NESCAC championship, right? Or it doesn't mean, you know, you sort of win that game. But we wanted it, and we wanted it for each other. And we worked really hard. And that it felt special. It was special. It still is special to me in memory.
The championship game, what are your memories of that game particularly?
I mean, I remember being at Tufts, and that it was gritty. It was a battle.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that heightened sense of purpose and of play. I remember some of the corner kicks where I pushed forward, and, you know, it's just like trying to lay myself out horizontally to get that ball. You know, all of us wanted it with every ounce of what we had. And at that point, I remember Marino scoring that goal, and all of us just like fully in chills, fully in the moment of joy. And I also remember how many Bates students came down for that game, and our families that were supporting us, and that, you know, when we filled the field there, and we won it not on our home turf, you know, so to win it there, and to have everyone, you know, members of the men's soccer team and the Bates community and everyone in our corner, and then everyone able to celebrate, and also for Coach Murphy to have an NESCAC championship on his name too, because he's worked so hard and for so many years, or had at that point too.
Yeah.
I was elated, and it felt like we had all done it together.
You talked about this during the ceremony, which just wrapped up. and we're talking here on the Saturday. The coming back from the injury, because you took a fifth year, basically, right? But just for basketball, is that?
Just for basketball. Yeah. So it was my senior season for soccer when I tore my ACL, MCL, and lateral meniscus. And it ended my senior soccer season. In October of that year. And so I didn't have any eligibility left in that regard, but could come back. And so I took the second semester of that year off and the first semester of the following. So, you know, I had time to rehab and to work and to travel. And I was grateful for that time away, too, to gain some perspective.
Did you have to come back midway through the basketball season then?
Yeah, so I couldn't I couldn't come back until after the first few games. So I returned in December.
Yeah.
So I played fall ball with the team and was able to do that and, you know, came and rehabbed and then and had to then wait again. You know, so it took a lot of patience, a lot of frustration, but I was really grateful to be back on the floor. And it just – it felt like a real sort of moment of return for me.
Well, yeah, because Murph was telling everyone about how, like, you were the ultimate competitor. Because some athletes, I mean, even very good competitors might say, okay, that's enough for my career. I'm graduating. What inspired you to come back?
I think just a feeling of wanting to finish on my own terms and having the control and the privilege to do that felt like I wanted to invest the time. I had also played so many sports for so long that having a little bit of time off, even if it was because of an injury and being sidelined, felt like a nice sort of bridge in between then coming back and returning to the floor and doing that. But I also, you know, it was something that it was possible. My family was really supportive of me in it. And I'm grateful for that. And the Bates community was as well. So it, you know, Coach Murphy said it's your decision. It's what you want. You know, we want you to play, but and Carla too, who's here today as well. I wasn't finished. You know, yeah. I felt like I know that it's, you know, in some sort of perspective, you're like, well, it's D3 sports. It's, you know, like I'm definitely here for a degree. You know, like I'm like you know, as a student athlete, you know, like I understand that balance, but it's a big part of my identity and what I wanted to do here and how I felt connected to Bates. I love competing. So
you're one of the rare athletes in Bates history to be an All-American in two distinct sports, right? Soccer, basketball. It's basically like you and Liz Wandless on the women's side, Liz for volleyball and throwing.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you to be an All-American in two completely different sports?
I mean, I think the recognition is really nice and it's, you know, an honor and I'm grateful for it. But ultimately, it was my experience playing with those teams in both sports.
Yeah.
And that Coach Murphy supported me as a multi-sport athlete. I love them both for different reasons, and I always felt like everything in soccer made me a better basketball player, and everything in basketball made me a better soccer player. And the balance there never felt like too much. I think sometimes in youth sports it felt like too much, like when I was playing AAU basketball and club soccer and doing school sports, like that at times I felt too stretched thin. But here it felt like because I was supported in both of those roles that I was able to do it in a way that was healthy, in a way that that I could then be fully committed to each thing. And I think sort of a testament to those team successes is that full commitment.
Tell us a little bit about your career since graduating from Bates. Sure. And I know you're a coach yourself now.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I work at St. George's in Middletown, Rhode Island, and I'm the girls varsity soccer head coach and an assistant coach for the girls varsity basketball team. And I'm so grateful for those roles and for, you know, still being able to compete and to be a part of teams in a different capacity. And I take a lot of the lessons that I've learned from my coaches and from my playing experience, but really also from my current team and players. And I think I felt like athletics at Bates and before that for me were a sense of joy and competition and confidence in terms of sort of who I am as a human today, as a mother, as a partner, as a teacher. And to be able to put that at the forefront of what we do and then to also support them through their sports and through their competing and to get wins and to you know, to have those experiences that last and to find joy in the game in a way that is singular in a team sport, I think is I'm so lucky.
We're happy to be talking with you after the ceremony. So tell me a little bit about your impressions of the ceremony, learning about some other great athletes as well, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I can't believe I was on that stage with those people.
As I said, very distinctive career.
Like they, yeah. Like just hearing about the you know, Olympians and national champions and All-Americans and, you know, mentors and community members. I think it's a testament to Bates and to this place that people – commit themselves to play here and to work here and to give it their best. And I think I'm incredibly humbled and incredibly grateful to be a part of that group and that class for the Hall of Fame. But I really, I don't know why I was up there. Like it's like, oh my gosh, look at, like, you know, just, and also just seeing, I think particularly for me, the, you know, pre-Title IX and post-Title IX impact and the idea of those women who came before me and us and generations and, you know, and really paved the way and made anything that I did here possible. So I'm tremendously in awe of their work and what they were able to do.
Great. Well, Megan, your thoughts you wanted to share about your time as a Bobcat? We haven't got to talk about.
I guess I think the only other thing is that there's, I always felt like playing at Bates and playing and putting on a Bates jersey, I've never been prouder. And I loved each and every minute of it. And I felt like the fans and the community and the student body was so supportive in all the right ways and made it fun and special. And thank you.
All right, May. Congratulations again. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
A huge shout out to the volleyball team on their big 3-1 win at Bowdoin last Friday, as senior night is this Wednesday at 6 p.m. And we'll catch you up on their season on next week's episode as they fight for a NESCAC tournament bid. Plus, the soccer, field hockey, and football teams are all at Middlebury this Saturday as the regular season hits the home stretch. And we'll recap it all next time on the Bates Bobcast.